Revival means turning around. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, the passage that was just read, a great passage of Scripture to memorize. If you've never memorized it, it's worth memorizing. Some good stuff here for God's people. And my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. God is the great physician. And God says, I will heal your land. But the question is, are we willing to follow the doctor's orders? Right? And so if healing is going to occur, we have to listen to God. The issue is not, can God heal our land? The issue is, will we follow the physician's prescription? That's the issue. And so God says we must turn from our wicked ways. And God will tune in when we turn around. But he will not tune in before we turn around. There is a connection between our sin and his hearing. We see this in a number of passages in the Word of God. Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Do you see the connection? What about this verse? Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. And so we will try everything but confessing our sin to God and asking God to forgive us. You know, every May in this country, we have a National Day of Prayer. And this day of prayer was an act of Congress in 1952. Our first official day of prayer was in 1953 when President Dwight Eisenhower made the declaration quoting Abraham Lincoln. In 1863, our country, as you know, was in the middle of a horrible civil war. And Lincoln called on the people to pray and ask for God's deliverance. Lincoln said that we need to pray and we need to confess our sins so that God will heal this great nation. Well, every president since Dwight Eisenhower has called on this country to pray. But not one president since Eisenhower, when he quoted Abraham Lincoln, has ever used the term sin. How politically incorrect, how immensely unpopular it would be for the leader of our country to stand up and say, our problem is we sin too much. You see, that would be way unpopular. No president is going to get up and say, our problem is we're sinners. But that is exactly what our nation needs to hear, because that is exactly what we are. So we arrogantly presume that we can pray for all kinds of intervention without confessing our sin. I think a National Day of Prayer is a great thing, but if there's no turning, there's no hearing. And so we can pray all we want. God is not going to hear. You see, what we forget is when we choose to sin, God turns his back on us. 1 Peter 3:12, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears attend their cries. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Remember Jesus when he was on the cross and he was bearing the sins of the world? He cried out the words of Psalm 22, verse 1. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, until America turns and comes to terms with her sin, I don't believe there'll be revival in this country. God will turn back when his people turn around. God says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 7, return to me, and I will return to you. You can't reverse the order here. It doesn't work that way. We have to repent. We have to confess our sins. And we have to turn to God. And when we do, God will heal. And God will forgive. Now, there is a word in the Bible for this turning, and it's called repentance. And it's what God calls us to. Acts 17:30, God calls all men everywhere to repent. And so what does it mean to turn from our wicked ways? Well, let me share a verse with you real quick. Deuteronomy 30, verse 7. This is what God spoke to the children of Israel. He says, "But if your heart turns away and you will not obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them." So he tells us here how turning happens. And it's a gradual thing that happens in the lives of people, but turning begins with a radical shift in the heart. That's where it starts. It's where it starts for me. It's where it starts for you. And when the heart starts to drift, one of the things that you will notice is you will begin to tolerate things that you never tolerated in the past. That's how you know your heart's drifting. Because those things, when you were full of God, they angered you. You were displeased with those things. But now, because there's a turning that occurs, we just accept what's going on. Rather than being disgusted with what's going on in our lives, we tolerate things now. And we find a substitute for God, whether it's money, pleasure, power, whatever it is, we find a substitute for God. And so what does it mean to turn back? And that's what we want to spend the last few moments on. This is the message that I believe that God's people need to hear today. What does it mean to turn back? Well, it means that thing that's taking God's place in your life, you get rid of that. You eradicate that. That stuff that you've been tolerating in your life, you confess it and you ask God to forgive you. It means that you get your heart back on fire for God again. It means that you start loving God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, and all of your strength. You see, the turning of America begins with the turning of the church of God. And we can't expect the nation to turn before the church turns. And so it's up to God's people to lead revival in this country. People want the fruit of revival. You know, having this wonderful relationship with God, having our spirits restored, as the song we just sung, without the hard work. And the hard work is repentance. The hard work is confessing our sins. The hard work is acknowledging that there's stuff in our life that we've been tolerating and we can't tolerate it no more. That's where it begins. That's where turning begins. And so two things that we need to turn from. Number one, we need to turn from dead religion. In the book of Hebrews, I just want you to look at a couple of passages. Hebrews chapter 6. I didn't put it on the screen. I want you to look in your Bible. In Hebrews chapter 6, look at verse 1. He says, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let us go unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." The first thing the Hebrew writer mentions here is repentance from dead works. You see, religious duty without the heart means absolutely nothing at all to God. In the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, he says in verses, chapter 9, verses 11 through 14, he says, "But Christ came as a high priest of good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, He entered into the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? What's his point? Well, the point that he's making here is simply this, that the blood of Jesus reveals that the problem that's going on inside of us is not superficial. It's not of the flesh. It's on the inside. It is deep in the heart, and it takes the forgiveness of Christ to cleanse that and make that whole and right with God. We need to repent of just simply going through the motions without loving God and desiring to do something different. And so there needs to be a radical change back to God, just as there's been a radical change away from God. Sin is the real issue, and it's deep within the heart of man, and it can only be dealt with by God through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. But God calls us to true repentance, a true turning. But also, God calls us to turn away from proud rebellion. You see, straying hearts always leads to disobedience. In Isaiah chapter 53, 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've each turned to his own way, and Yahweh hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Sin is turning away to a life that you prefer more than God's way. And sin is rebellion against God. That's what sin is at its core. And we don't see sin the right way until we see it as against God. Listen to David in Psalm 51, verse 4. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Sin is not simply the transgression of God's law, simply going beyond what God said, doing something God says don't do, or not doing what God says do. It's more than that. Sin is rebellion against the Almighty. That's what sin is at its core. And this is what God calls us to repent of. I want you to look at a passage in Matthew chapter 5 with me real quick. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 29 and 30. Two verses you know well, but they're radical. I actually know of a guy who took this literally. Cut off his hand. Listen to Jesus. Matthew 5, 29 and 30. He says, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body be cast into hell. You see, we need to radically deal with sin. That's what Jesus is saying. Not there, but in the text we just read. He wants us to radically deal with it. He says, hey, if sin causes you to offend, cut your hand off. Pluck your eye out. Now, he's not literally telling us to do this. He's just using language, exaggerated speech to get our attention so that we will radically deal with sin in our lives. Because it is better to limp into heaven than to leap straight into hell. That's the truth and that's the reality. Revival will come when the church deals radically with sin. When the church begins to turn, then the world has an example to follow, but the world will not turn until the church of God begins to turn. And when the church of God turns, then God can do exactly what God said he would do. He would heal our land. And if you've been listening to the news, you know, the last 6-7 months, this land needs healing. I've never seen more animosity than I see in our country right now. I mean, you're on one side or the other, and this side hates that side, and this side hates that side, right? That's where we're at as a country. And yet we tolerate so much. I mentioned this morning as we were looking at the prophet Nahum. You know, homosexuality is rampant, and you can marry in this country. Two men, two women. We abort babies. There's all kinds of things our country is doing, and God's people simply haven't stood up and spoke out against it. God's people need to rise up and speak out against sin, just as Nahum does. And that's what Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, 2 Chronicles 7, 14, is encouraging us to do. I want you to listen to these beautiful words out of Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and let the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, notice, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Our God is a gracious and merciful God, but he demands that his people turn. And so, church, I hope you will take this message to heart this morning. I hope I will take this message the heart this morning. I hope that we all will. I hope the church across the country will take God's words very, very seriously in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And you could list a host of other passages that essentially say the same thing. But if you want to see this country do something different, it begins with us. Why would we expect the world to make this change? You can't expect the world to make the change. If there's going to be a turning in America, it will be because of you turning and my turning and the turning of God's people everywhere. And so this morning, if you need to turn, that is, you need to repent, you need to confess sin, we're going to sing a song. And during the singing of the song, it's to encourage you wherever you are to come and confess and get right with God. If you've never obeyed the gospel, there's a great opportunity this morning for you to do that as well. There's no better opportunity before you than right now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Will you seize the moment? If so, come as we stand and sing.